It's a favorite part. I don't care who you are right there. If you don't like this song, turn off my show right now. What's going on, everyone? Today is May 11th, 2:02 Eastern Time. This show is called Freight Broker Live. It is the one and only talk show run by an active freight broker that I know of on social media. I don't think there are any others that do it as regularly as I do. Anyway, my name is Steve. Today is, I already said it, it's May 11th. What is it? A month and a couple of days for my 36th birthday. Man, I'm getting old. Man. All right. So at any rate, today, what we're going to do is we'll open up the phone lines like we typically do. But today, first, we're going to talk about some news. There's not a lot because unfortunately, this protest in D.C. is kind of overshadowing everything. But we do have something that is changing. And so I'm going to give a synopsis of the entire week of the protest and what the focus was and all that stuff. And then we'll talk about what's kind of going on today because the tides have changed, as they say. Things are starting to look differently. Maybe look up. Maybe they'll actually get something done. And we'll talk about what I know in that regard or what I think I know, whatever. And then we'll also talk about a man who jumped on a moving wine tanker full of wine and started drinking it. Yeah, and I'll show you the video for that because that's a pretty interesting little story. And then we'll see what goes on. And then we'll open up the phone lines. But first, a message from our sponsor.
Aren't you tired of your outdated server installed TMS? Are you stuck with a software that looks like it was developed when the Matrix movie was popular? Well, Ascend TMS is here to bring you to the actual future of TMS solutions. You can literally get started in less than 15 seconds. Ascend TMS is one of the only true cloud-based TMS softwares on the market. While other softwares could take weeks or even months to implement, Ascend TMS just takes a few moments. See, we actually timed it. And what about features? I think we have you covered there. Here at Ascend TMS, we're so confident you'll make your business more efficient and profitable in your first 30 days, we give it to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today at thefreetms.com.
There we go. Let me put this up. Hold on. Screen's being finicky. All right. So like I said, Ascend TMS is my show sponsor for this month and part of next month as well. They are pretty rad. Really like them. You guys should work with them. They got a lot of stuff going on. If you're watching this on Facebook, please do me a solid and share it out to as many different groups as you can. Spam it. I don't care. Let's just get the news out there. First, if you guys haven't been over to freightbrokerlive.com, well, you don't know what you're missing. Let me put it up on the screen. This is freightbrokerlive.com. This is my website, the website I've designed and built, and I do break news and all that good stuff. So make sure you check it out. I don't know why someone say no video. Because it looks like it's working on my end. So I think it's working. Hopefully it's working for all you guys. But first, let's talk about this story. So a man had climbed under a moving big rig filled with wine and began, let me make this a full page. Hold on. Ay, 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 come on. No, it's not going to let me pause it. Whatever. It's a pretty interesting story. Let me put this on the screen and then play it one day. Check it out.
On CBS 13. This suspect just uncorked what may be the wildest ride of any wine heist ever. The dashcam video from a tanker truck hauling bulk red wine on Highway 99 through Modesto first shows the suspect in a sedan putting his hazard lights on, directing the truck to the side of the highway. The truck driver pulls over, believing he may have a mechanical problem, only to see the man in the sedan get out, only wearing underwear. He runs to the passenger side of the truck and out of view. As the truck driver pulls back onto the freeway, another onboard camera captures that suspect jump back into view, then on the back of the wine truck. With no shirt and no shoes, he rides on the side of the tanker. The video then shows him climbing underneath the truck as it hits freeway speeds. That's when the driver noticed the dashboard gauge showing he was losing fluids, hundreds of gallons of red wine. He called the CHP.
I listen to radio. I've listened to thousands and thousands of calls. This one's up there in the top 10.
The truck driver found the suspect, Gabriel Moreno, now under arrest, in an unusual position. Moreno had unscrewed a valve underneath the truck as it was moving up Highway 99. That sent the tanker's wine gushing and Moreno gulping as much as he could.
This individual is able to release the wine from under the tanker, and he placed himself underneath the tanker in such a manner, the best way to describe this is somebody doing like snow angels.
This Highway 99 red wine heist, big and bold, with a finish in handcuffs.
So that's pretty funny. I thought that was pretty funny. People are nuts. People are nuts. And what's funnier about this story is it doesn't end there. Because of the COVID-19 crisis and the California Supreme Court being, let's call it soft, the guy didn't have a license. He didn't have registration on his vehicle. He was cited and arrested by the California Highway Patrol. But wait, there's more. He was cited, arrested, booked, and then released with no bail. Unfortunately, he was pissed off that he got released without having a sandwich. So directly outside of the jail, he then causes a fight with a landscaping crew and then attempts to steal their landscaping truck. He's back in jail, and hopefully he's enjoying that sandwich. That is true. This really happened. The mugshot that you see here is from after when he was arrested the second time. Some people are nuts. That's the only thing I could say. That's the only way I could say it. Some people are completely bat crap crazy. And this fella is one of them. They say that it spilled about 1,000 gallons of wine, which was roughly 5,000 bottles of wine, red wine. It's pretty crazy. And then I like the comments. And then the next video we're going to have for you folks today is just an update. Well, hold on. Yeah, well, you can hear what it's going to be. So it's going to be a video from Rick Santiago, his new video today. And I think it's pretty important. I'm going to show the majority of it just because it kind of changes pace. You know, so let me give a little bit of background on these protests in D.C. and all this stuff. And then I'll play this video. So we all know the market's tanked. Supply and demand has ravished the trucking industry. Rates tanked. There's an overabundance of trucks on the road, and we're still adding trucks, and more trucks are trying to get into the business, and we have a driver shortage, and the FMCSA and DOT laxed all the requirements for driver testing, so now drivers can actually get physical driving tests virtually. I mean, go figure that one out. But we have this huge overcapacity of trucks. Some freight brokers are taking advantage of the situation, charging or in increasing profits while not relaying that payment onto the carrier. When you have basic supply and demand economics, if you have a whole bunch of trucks and you have a very little load, what happens? The rates end up tanking. That's what happened in this regard. Rates have tanked. Freight brokers are doing their best to keep it low. Carriers that are accepting these cheap freight loads are continuously keeping the rates low. And then there was a protest. Now, this protest wasn't just about cheap freight. When it first started out, it had a mission, I would say. It had a focus. And then somehow, as more and more people got involved and Rick Santiago made all these different videos, and some real, some not, whatever. I can't see the pictures in the chat, Freight Dispatcher. It doesn't show me the pictures in the chat, unfortunately. So if you're talking about that double screenshot, well, I'll address that. So type me if you're saying yes, and it has a Raycon on the top and the bill lading on the bottom. If that's what you're talking about, because I can't see the picture in the chat, let me know, and I will address that because I do have some insight into that. Anyway, so there was this whole protest going on in D.C. People ended up going and protesting for whatever they were protesting about. Some were protesting low rates. Some were protesting about this. Others were protesting about that. Hours of service, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Kevin Wright said, according to... we should be sending emergency assistance of Salvation Army. That's not true. That's not true. Come on, man. That's not true. Anyway, hopefully it's not. It wouldn't surprise me. Anyway, so like I was saying, so they're protesting. Come on. Kevin Wright, you're throwing me for loops here. anyway, so like I was saying, the protests have been going on now for over a week. They got there not last Friday, the Friday before. They were honking the air horns. They're putting all this, making all this noise about cheap freight and about hours of service regulations and increased educational things and fighting autonomous and all this stuff. So that's what the original focus was. Everybody knows I drove up. I ended up doing an interview with Rick. It didn't go super well for anybody involved. And then I drove down, and I've been covering the protests kind of from afar since then. Since the day that I left DC, it was the day Santiago left DC, and he's since put out other videos. He had the anarchist lookalike freight broker that was on there. He had some other old timer that was talking about the quantum agreement, like that has any relevance on spot market, whatever. And then he's constantly gone after TQL left and right, just every day. It's TQL this, TQL that. Today is the same thing. Today it's the same thing. It's a battle on TQL. So let me talk about first, and then I'll play the video. So there's a picture that went out about, and it was used as, and it's widely circulated on social media. I think no less than 55 of you guys all sent me the picture where being like, oh, is this price gouging? They're using this as price gouging. Well, if you look at the picture, it has a TQL rate confirmation on the top or part of it. And then it has the bottom. It had a bill of lading, and the bill of lading had the pro numbers matched on the bill of lading. And then it said at the bottom, TQL is a carrier and they get $2,350 or something like that. And they were all passing that off as evidence of price gouging during a pandemic. Well, unfortunately, if you zoom way in on that bill of lading, the bill of lading does not show, the bill of lading actually has a date. Hold on one second. I'm getting messages. I can't believe that is a real story, Kevin Wright. I'm getting a whole bunch of messages, people talking about it. That is crazy. Anyway, that's the most absurd thing I've ever seen. Anyway, so if you look at the date, the day is from May of 2019. So that's a year ago, pre-pandemic. The load paid $210. The carrier took the load. The broker made a bunch of money on it, according to the paperwork. That is still considered price gouging. Well, they're considering it price gouging. I don't necessarily think it's called price gouging. But if you zoom way in on that picture, you could see the date is from May of 2019, not 2020. So it has no relevance into the state of affairs now, except to say, hey, yeah, a broker got a little bit lucky on a load. What's worse than that is I got a bunch of replies from TQL employees, current employees. And while none of them were the sales rep on that load, every single one of them looked it up. And people from TQL constantly contact me. And maybe it's because of all the stories that I've covered in TQL, but they contacted me this time and said, hey, that is a TQL load, except the amount is incorrect. And I said, well, what do you mean incorrect? And they're like, the broker didn't make anywhere near that much. And I said, well, can you prove it? Because otherwise it's just you saying. And they're like, no, we can't, because we don't have the load. We can't access the paperwork, but we could see what the receivables are. And that's not the right load, whatever. And so it goes again. And then you see people like Freight Dispatcher saying, yes, that's not price gouging, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. I can tell you with all 100% honesty, if a broker can make more than 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 15 or 20% profit on a load because the carrier accepts a load, they're going to do it. If it's not price gouging, just like Markin said, it's not price gouging if a carrier accepts the load. It's not. No matter which way you look at it, this is a free market. And just to reaffirm that, I have a video for you. Let me play this video for you. Let me get it up on the screen. All right. So let me make this full screen. Let's see. In this video, I mean, to be honest, I think this is one of the more real videos that he's put out. So I'll play it for a while and we can listen to it and laugh about it. But he does say some things that are very important here. And I think it's very important.
Here with my son, who you're probably going to hear in the background.
And I don't want to
my fiance
and show his kids and all that stuff. So let me move that over.
Order Mr. Thomas this morning. You want to.
Yeah, let me move that.
Is for trucking. I don't care if it's hours of service. I don't care if it's for, safety. I truly and honestly believe that we're going about this the wrong way now. And I can.
I mean, this, mind you, is a complete reversal from what he did. When was his last video? 2 days ago? This is a complete reversal from the last video. Just so everyone can keep track of all this. But it's because he talked to an attorney and the attorney said, hey, you can't price gouge in the free market. Whatever. It's the same thing everyone else has been saying. But here we go.
Admit that.
And I'm going to make sure I stop this at different times because I don't want to show his family. I mean, he says good things in this video, to be completely honest.
I might be wrong in my approach to this. Congressmen, senators, legislators are not coming to address the issue. We need 1,000 trucks in DC, 1,000. And I know that if 1,000 trucks are going to be in DC, I will be in DC tomorrow morning. Not to be a leader, not to take over anybody's role, but to be a part of a movement, to be a part of a change.
So he'll come back if more trucks come. But
TQL,
okay.
Well, clearly in this handbook.
All right. So some bonehead sent them the TQL handbook. And I would love to see that handbook as well, because the way that TQL does their sales, trains their salespeople, is top notch. Even from the people that were laid off and all that, they all say the same thing. So I would love to see that manual, to be completely honest. But go ahead.
Right here. And again, this, it's 155 pages. You can see for yourself, page 73, page 89.
Let me skip that. I don't want to show his family. So
now I believe that they're all in bed together. They all probably had a conference call.
All right. So when that's the best part. So when rates tanked because of supply and demand, all the brokers got on a big conference call and said, guess what? It's time. We have to lower all the rates now universally across the board because carriers won't have a choice. That's what he is now saying. This is real. I can't make this up.
And said, this is what we need to do now. What they're doing is not illegal. It is immoral, but it is not illegal.
Okay, there is probably the most important part of this whole video. Because he said he's talked with attorneys and they've now informed him, which is what everybody else has been doing the entire time. And I'm not going to show the rest of the video because it doesn't even matter at this point. but they told him that... It's not illegal. it's not illegal, no matter what. It's not illegal. It's just sad, you know. And then he says, if more trucks come, he's going to come. And he says that, you know, he does mention me in the video and said, you know, I don't know. People said he thanked me or something. I don't think so. I think he realized that he didn't have all the answers when he was there. And so he left DC to try to figure out the answers. And unfortunately, last week he did say the same thing. He kind of was like, oh, yeah, it's all brokers price gouging. We're going to get them. I'm going to need money for attorneys and all this. And now he says that, oh, he's got attorneys that are going to handle this. And then he's also got his own personal attorneys, most probably to help him handle the fact that he made fake videos and threw people under the bus. That's probably what the personal attorneys are for. But whatever. The video is important because it shows that, okay, this changed. Because now you have to actually believe in what everyone else is telling you. This was supply and demand at its fullest. A lot of people don't think it's supply and demand, but when you actually sit down and think about it and use your head, then you kind of realize, oh, it is supply and demand. Kind of makes sense. But I don't know. And I don't want to show the whole video because I want to have him. I want him to have some, personal stuff, but, you know, whatever, his own space. Because he, you know, he's the video. I don't not like the guy. For anyone that thinks that I do, and that's why I make the videos, I think it's very important to show, okay, look at how this protest has gone on. For 11 days now, they've been sitting in there. It started off as a big protest about, you know, cheap rates and actually standing for drivers and all that. And now it's shifted. And then it shifted just to a whole video or just to a whole protest about cheap rate. That's what the whole thing is about. That's why everyone was talking about it. Even the group, the Disrespected Trucker, who I really do respect, they ended up putting out a video that I do not respect on Friday saying, hey, we're thankful for all of you guys to do what you do. And thank you all freight brokers and for you know, getting us known as truckers, and hopefully you have a fun time driving your Ferrari around and all this. I mean, the disconnect here between the industries is outrageous and mind-blowing, to be honest, but whatever, you know, I don't know if anyone actually knows what they're protesting. I really don't anymore. I think it'd be interesting to go back to DC and just listen to people and just see if they actually know what they're protesting right now. You know what I mean? It would be very, very interesting. So it's kind of crazy. It's just, it's crazy. Let me put up this phone line and then people can call in. And like I said, I respect what the Disrespected Trucker are doing. I don't necessarily like that video from what was it, 2 weeks ago or last Friday. I mean, it seems like they kind of joined this whole cheap freight bandwagon, and maybe that's the reason, because Rick doesn't seem to agree with a lot of those people. So maybe that's the reason why they are now switching. And now they're going, hey, you know what? We can't focus on cheap freight and trying to regulate price gouging, because it's actually not happening, because you can't price gouge when you're selling rates that are at a market rate. You know what I mean? And I think someone finally came to their senses. But like I said in videos last week, or maybe I didn't say it in a video, there was a Texas state senator that also said this is price gouging, and he used a statement up to 89%. I reached out to him and I said, hey, if you want to learn about the industry or learn basic concepts of supply and demand, I'm willing to help you, or literally just look up supply and demand, and then you may learn the industry. But there's so many people. I mean, we all know the president sometimes tweets before he thinks. And I think that, you know, he was trying to show support for the truck drivers, and he mentioned the price gouging thing. But unfortunately, price gouging in this industry isn't, for one, what any broker doing, even if a broker takes 200% commission, it's not illegal. There's nothing. And you'll never be able to cap the brokerage industry. As much as everyone wants to say, hey, we're going to cap the brokerage industry, it will never happen, unfortunately. You know, I don't necessarily think brokers need to be out making 50, 60, 70% all the time. I think one-offs, but you guys, a lot of carriers don't understand that there's give and take on loads. So sometimes we have to take a loss on a load, or sometimes we have to pay detention, and the customer's like, F you, I'm not paying it. And we do those things. So sometimes we have to make it up. Or for someone else made a good point on this TQL load that's flying around now with the split screen where it has a bill lading and on the top. What if that was a 3-truck load? So what if there are actually 3 loads moving and the commission was just built into one load? Because everybody knows that is completely possible if you've been working on the broker side of things. Instead of sending one invoice, you don't know how much it's gonna go. You could do it. You know, you add the commission onto the end. I had a 28 truck crane job that I did. We moved a like one of those big skyscraper cranes, or I don't know what they're called. You know, where they have the kind of looks like scaffolding going up and then it goes across that way. But I had one of those. It was 28, you know, loads, some legal, some not legal, and I had good commission throughout the load. So I had good profit, paid the carrier very well throughout the entire loads, and then at the end of it, I realized that I actually had more money. So the last two loads, I actually paid the carriers $250 more, and I made over $1,000 in profit on each of those last two loads because I miscalculated and I had more money in it than I thought I did. I paid the carrier more anyway because I said, screw it, I wasn't being greedy, but I ended up making a tremendous amount of profit on that load, and all the carriers ended up doing really well, partly because it was 2018 and the rates were a little bit higher. But, you know, just like everyone always says, and I've said too, that, you know, we didn't hear this complaining when rates are high. We only hear it right now because they're low. So, and it's unfortunate, you know, to be honest, it's really unfortunate because I think we could just do so much better. I don't know why everyone just has to fight over stuff like this all the time. It's just, it's bickering and back and forth. And to be honest, it's killing, It's killing every it's killing everything. It's killing this movement, the disrespect to truckers movement. You know, it's not even disrespect to truckers movement anymore, unfortunately. It's everybody else's. They're fighting amongst each other now. You know, every day there's videos posted first thing in the morning, and then they're gone because they're not suitable for, you know, for the vision. And I don't see them because I don't even care that much. People send them to me or try to. And then they're like, hey, did you see this video from last night? And it's like, video was unavailable because it's been deleted. It's sad. I mean, I really hope that they're able to really just push out and get heard. You know what I mean? My only problem with the protest right now is I don't think there's adequate leadership that's actually going to try to present a solution to the problem. That's the thing. I don't think anyone that's there right now, in my personal belief, is there to actually has a solution to the problem. Everyone just knows what the problem is. Well, and they have a really skewed version of what the problem is. I mean, there's people in this chat that are saying the same thing. It's price gouging. It's illegal. Brokers need to be capped. Well, do you understand what happens if you cap brokers? You're going to get capped too. And if you cap you, it's not going to do you any good. You know what I mean? It's because the megas are just going to take over. You know, it is whatever. Josh Markin said, and they're kicking out their founders and admins too. Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. It's... The whole thing is just weird. The whole thing is weird. I know there's another group that's kind of waiting for these guys to go away. And then they want to go because they actually have a vision, but they're so afraid. And they have way more numbers, but they're afraid. Not afraid isn't the right word. They don't want to be lumped together with this group of people. So it's a group of truckers, and it's a bigger group of truckers. And they just don't want, they want to keep separate. You know what I mean? And so, you know, and I've been talking to them about it too. Because they see how I think about it, and they're practical. They understand supply and demand. They also understand that rates are low. And if nothing is done immediately, guess what happens? Trucking is done. Trucking is done, which is not a good thing. You know, it's not a good thing. Pers Mall said, let's be frank. Ken Oaks is not worth $1 billion because TQL. Yeah, but who cares? The people that haul TQL loads, haul TQL loads. Who cares how much somebody else makes? It doesn't make any sense. You think of 2018, I was criticizing carriers for charging $3 a mile when I know the operating cost in 2018 was $1.80 a mile? No, I wasn't. You know why? Because I don't care. If they charge me $3 to run a load, then they charge me $3 to run a load. That's it. That's how it works. I don't care how much someone else makes. I don't care if TQL makes a whole bunch of money. I really don't. I don't care if carriers make a whole bunch of money. I only care that I'm able to make commission. And the fact is right now the rates are so low that I'm not making any money. I quoted a load today. I quoted a load today. DAT was showing $1,300 and 759 miles. I ended up quoting the customer $1,700, planned on paying the carrier $1,550, and I'll make $150 myself. The customer calls me back and said, oh, your rate's high. I've gotten other quotes for like $1,300. And I'm like, well, I'm not moving them. I'm not doing it. You know, it's sad. It's sad. You know, and people don't understand that. And part of the reason why carriers don't understand that is because you don't have direct customers. Clearly, if you're just bitching about the spot market 24/7, you probably don't have direct customers. Vanco Code said, what would you suggest they do, Steve? Well, in all reality, what I suggest they do is leave. And then they got their attention. They made the attention. Now they're being taken for granted. And that's what they're doing. Sending out all these messages every single day saying day 11, calling it a siege. Shit like that is just dumb. And it's not going to get you any. The only thing I'm very impressed with in terms of the White House is that the fact that they haven't kicked them all out yet. They do not have a permit to be there. That's what I'm very surprised at. What I would have done is the very first time that the admin came out and started talking to everybody, I would have said, I would have had a concrete list of stuff that I talked about right there. I wouldn't have pushed this cheap freight narrative and all this crap, because you know what it does? It gives you the simple solution of, or the simple answer of, yeah, you know what? We're going to look into that. That's wrong. That's wrong. But it doesn't have an immediate fix to the issue. Because you can't do anything about this whole mythological price fixing thing that everyone says is going on now. There's not an immediate solution to it. So the only thing that's going to happen is exactly what Laz said, is hundreds and hundreds of these trucking companies are going to go out of business. That's it. Because they missed the boat. the people that are there and all the people on the back end that are supporting this stuff have missed the chance to actually be heard. In my opinion, this is just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I don't think that they'll be taken seriously at all. I know they're doing an aggressive campaign to send letters to senators and all this and all that. But it's funny because you watch them on Facebook and you watch them on Twitter and you watch all the comments that are going back and forth amongst all these people, and they're not professional comments. They're not answering the simple solution of, okay, this is what we need. We need economic stimulus in order to be able to survive. Otherwise, shooting for hours of service reform right now isn't going to help you stay open, because if you have to close before hours of service reform goes into play, guess what? It's all for nothing. I mean, common sense kind of kicks in at some point, you would hope, but it seems like, unfortunately, people are missing it. So my advice, what I would do is I would leave. I would tell everybody to leave. And I wouldn't do it and just drop it right there. I would tell everybody to leave, and then I would make a campaign to go after state senators and talk to them and congressmen and talk to them and say, okay, listen, this is our problem, and have, you know, good representation. People, you know, in suits that go and meet these people, not wearing tank tops or sweatpants or any of that stuff. You know, they represent the industry. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. Barbara Rutherford said it's not just brokers, shippers are cheap. Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't understand that, though. They think brokers are because you have misinformation coming out all the time. You have misinformation. And it comes on both ends. You have the head of the TIA saying, oh, well, the head of the TIA comes out and says no one is moving freight at pre-virus rates. That's a lie. That's not true. There are brokers and shippers that are, and carriers that are moving loads at pre-virus rates, if not more. If you're hauling some essential goods, you're getting lucky and you're getting good money for it. But people don't understand it. You know, it's just wrong. And then for everyone to lump all brokers, you know how many times I see all these comments, and I get people that are pissed at me because they're blocked. They're like, I can't comment on this guy's videos because he blocked me. Yeah, no shit, I blocked you. You're talking nonsense. You know what I mean? That's why I blocked you. If you're not saying anything constructive or anything that'll help, you don't need to agree with me. Nobody needs to agree with me. But the fact is if nobody else has a solution, then what? I mean, why chirp up? Brittany said, or getting drunk on Facebook Live, that's a great phase for the industry. I know, that's a whole nother one. I'm kind of trying to keep that to myself too. But the unfortunate thing is everyone sees that already. Everyone sees that. Everyone sees what's going on social media. Everybody, even people that are not in the industry, think of what kind of representation it has when you're emailing congressmen and saying, oh, we're part of the Disrespected Trucker Facebook group. And then you go on to the group, say a congressman or one of his aides goes on to the group early in the morning when they first read the email and they're doing their research before they tell the congressperson about you. And then they get on there before the admins delete the video and they see some drunken bonehead making a video. And you wonder why they're not being taken seriously. Again, my opinion and my opinion alone. But that's, they took this situation for granted, you know? Unfortunately, I think that's really what happened is they're taking situations for granted right now, you know? Kevin Power said, I'm one of them, essential goods and contract freight. Yeah, people are still moving it. Persmal said, I am for opening the economy to 100% right away. Politicians are just using the whole situation for a different agenda. It's not about the virus anymore. I still disagree a little bit on that side. I think there's still some serious implications with this virus. I think in some places we may have opened early, but I think some people shouldn't have closed. I think there's certain places shouldn't have closed. You know what I mean? I don't think warehouses that where you could safely spread out and practice social distancing should have been forced to close. Unfortunately, they were. You know? And that all has a lasting effect on supply and demand. Because we had way too much supply and we had no demand for trucks, and that's why rates are low. And now supply or now load volumes are starting to go up. So I'll put that up on the screen because I did see someone ask me to look for the DAT trend lines and all that stuff. So we'll look, or the market conditions index. Hold on. Market maps, because that's important. I mean, to know what we're going to have. Volumes are starting to trend up. Everyone's seeing that. Even on all the predictive fancy modeling that some people have, they're estimating that, yeah, it is coming up. But who knows what's actually going to happen with this? I don't know when it's going to. When it's all going to be up, man. I really don't. Let me open this map and then we'll see. While I'm waiting, I'll play a sponsor video from Dap. Check this out.
Want to give your business the edge and get the most used load board app in the industry? As a DAT load board subscriber, you'll find freight faster and easier, all from the palm of your hand. Plus, you get the best pricing info available, so you can get the best rate in every negotiation. Simply log in using your DAT username, password, and get access to easy-to-use tools you can't find anywhere else. Get the app on the Google Play or Apple App Store today.
All right, and it looks like we'll see. All right, so here's the market conditions index. It's loading pretty slow today. So as you could see, this is dry vans for today. Load volumes are, I mean, this is a lot better than what it was 2 weeks ago, because this whole thing was a sea of blue 2 weeks ago, if you guys don't remember. And for anyone that has DAT Power Office, I believe this is free now. For now, I don't know how long it's going to be free. But you can see pretty much all of California is kind of leading towards, you know, that there is quite a bit of volume. They're opening up. They're getting ready to go. Some of the North Dakota, same way. Half the state is doing pretty well. Let's see what Wednesday looks like. And just mind you, it's going very, very slow right now. And it will, you know, it's just because I'm live streaming. So it goes very slow when you live stream. The internet does. Anyway, but as you can see from Wednesday, dry van volumes aren't really there's no immediate end in sight for this. This is kind of one of the reasons why the protests don't really make a lot of sense. Do you understand? I mean, this is, look at the maps. Like, what are they doing? Like, really? So California is pretty much hot. Mike Timmy said California rates are way up from last week. Florida, too. The entire state of Florida now is leaning more towards tight capacity, meaning there's less trucks for loads. Therefore, you have a lot more play in rates. Doesn't mean the rates are going to come right up, because unfortunately, people are still pre-booking loads and all that stuff. But you have a little bit more play. Brittany said DAT is having server issues. No, they're actually just updating their server, unfortunately. I think they were doing a massive update over the weekend and they may not have completed it yet. I got an email. And there was a message when I was logging in. So look at flatbeds. Flatbeds is kind of coming back. I haven't really looked at the rates. I don't know what rates are looking like, but look at flatbed for Friday. This is, you know, we have quite a few hot zones. So load volumes are starting to come up. We'll see with rates when I do my state of trucking tomorrow. But that's for Friday. So let's look at Wednesday and see. I mean, it all takes time. It takes time to reopen the country after you have it all shut down. So, I mean, it stays pretty much the same. And like the load that I quoted was from North Carolina to Michigan. And that's the one that I quoted well over what the market rate was. The market was 752 miles, and I think market rate was 1,350. You know, so look at all this too. You know, so I mean, this is today. So the market is changing. Load volumes are coming up, and this unfortunately will probably be the end of the protest too. They don't really need to listen to me say, okay, maybe it's time for you guys to go. They're going to end up leaving when freight rates come back up. They're going to end up leaving, and maybe that's what everyone's just waiting for. They're not going to sit out when rates are good. Maybe they will, but I doubt it. You know, and then they'll end up calling for more trucks to go and stay and do all this stuff. Who knows? I really don't know. It's kind of sad. Phone number is live if someone wants to call in, 914-803-4008. Let's see. They haven't been done yet on the software. Josh Markin said, I was telling you the other day I was cut 1 day a week, but the shipper adjusted the rate where I didn't really take a cut in pay. You know why? Because I have a good, solid relationship with them, and they don't want to lose me as one of their carriers. Yeah. It's crazy. This industry, it just needs some people. It needs people to pay attention. You guys are talking about the the videos that were posted. I didn't see them. You know, I can only hear about them third party, unfortunately. And I'm fine with that. I don't really want to see it, because that'll probably quickly change my focus on you know, in supporting them, because I still support them. I just think right now the movement is dead. They spent so much time pushing the cheap freight narrative. That's what they did. You know, time and time again, pushing this cheap freight narrative and saying, oh, it's broker price gouging. It's illegal. We're going to sue them. We're going to win. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. And now they're like, oh, it's not illegal. And we don't have any evidence. And there's nothing that can be done. But keep sending me all your rate cons. I mean, so I can have a shipper list built. That's, I still believe that we'll see that pop out. Personally, I don't know why anybody would send any rate cons. I don't know why anybody. I think that would be a horrible, horrible idea right now to send any rate cons to anybody, unless you just black out the whole damn thing. But yeah. So, and then there's people in the chat that are having conversations amongst themselves as well, which is fine. I can't decipher what's going on. Yeah. So that's that. You know, the thing is weird. I mean, this whole industry is weird right now. It makes you. Forgot, I had a conversation with somebody else this morning, and I was sitting there, and I'm talking to him, and he's like, what do I think about the protest, and should he go? And I'm like, no. I mean, I'm like, you have a brand, so you could support him like I do. You know, I support the protest, and I support the, you know, truckers fighting for things they believe in, but I think also what they believe in is kind of, it's very murky right now. You know, because I think some people believe in one thing and other people believe in another. And then they're fighting for cheap freight and all this. And then they, you know, hours of service reform and ELD. And then there's ELD manufacturer or companies that are there with them and have been there the whole time. It's just really weird. It's just a really weird scenario. And you have the OIDA battling TIA and TIA sending out press releases or videos that don't really make any sense. And just everybody is just complaining. And it, but again, I really haven't heard of any economic position that'll help better the situation at all. I really haven't. Has anybody else? Because I haven't heard anybody that's in leadership there say anything about any economic situation or any economic proposal that'll help keep these truckers alive. You know, if I was to go back, what I would do is I would go back and I'd tell each and every one of the truck drivers that I talked to and said, you guys need to change your focus. But that's it. See you later, Josh. John Paul Blanton on Facebook said, on a witch hunt for who's stealing the money, but it's right there among them. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. May Power said May has been back up to pre-shutdown volumes for you. Yeah, that's good. Hopefully. I mean, clearly volumes are starting to increase a little bit, and they'll continue doing it. A lot of states are still on shutdowns. Like here in Florida, we're on a phase one. A reopening as of I think Friday, so a lot of things are still closed and we still have self-quarantine plans and we still have all this and we still have all that, but it's just not ready yet, you know, and so there's going to be a lot of shippers and a lot of things that are not going to work. Vanco Code said, I said it from day one that no one with the White House would talk to them when POTUS tweeted about them. They crap their pants. I'm still sticking to my thoughts. I hope I am proved wrong. Yeah, I mean, think about it. The way I think about it is look at the industry and look how it's representative. It's fragmented there. You know what I mean? And I you know, short of talking, and there's very little I could say because short of talking shit about people, which I don't like to do and I don't really want to do, I can't really talk about anything except to say, hey, they lost their focus. That's it. I really just think they lost their focus on what they're trying to do. And the only thing it did is it brought further divisiveness in an industry that's already full of it. You know, the best thing I do is a lot of times when you see like a broker bashing comment or something like that, and I see the picture of the person, and they look kind of young. And then I look at them and I see their picture where they just started their first trucking company or just got their CDL in July of 2019, but yet they're market experts now. I love that too. You know, there's, and cause like I said, I do due diligence on almost every single thing I do every single day. And so I look into people and I look into people all the time. And it's just funny. Some of these outspoken critics of freight brokers don't even have a lot of experience. I clearly could not have had a lot of experience talking to freight brokers or booking loads, you know? And you always hear the complaint of, oh, a carrier can't go out and get direct customers. Well, that's not true because carriers can do it all the time. The majority of the successful carriers right now that aren't complaining about rates guess what? They have direct shippers. Most likely they got by themselves or through affiliations or meeting someone or doing something like that. But that's what I did when I had my own trucks. You know, we didn't settle just for broker work. We settled. I mean, we didn't even start off with broker work. We started off by banging on the doors and getting customers. That's how we figured out the freight market in the first place. My trucking company was open for, I think, 3 months before we even knew about a load board, before we even signed up for Dad or Truck Stop, and we had freight. How do you think that happened? That's just, I mean, some people can do it. Other people can't. I understand there's not a lot of time. If you're driving down the road, you can't stop and go out and meet people and handshakes and do all that stuff. But and then the only other thing you can do is complain, if you think about it, you know? And that's why I don't fault, you know, a lot of the people. And that's, you know, I had someone call me last week and say, hey, how come you make all these videos? Aren't you tired of just saying the same thing over and over? Doesn't it get tiring? Like, don't you get tired of it? He said tired like six times. No joke. And I'm like, no, you know what? I don't, because I love the industry. I don't even like the industry. I love the industry. And I think if I can help anybody understand the industry better, then it's worth it for me. And so to me, to spend an hour talking to someone or even later and making late videos and all that stuff, I'm fine with it. It helps. It's almost calming to me. You know what I mean? I'll be honest. I'm starting to freak out a little bit. I haven't moved any freight in almost a month. Me personally, my wallet can't take that kind of hit, you know, and people don't understand that, you know, this is happening to all brokers. You know, there's probably very few brokers that haven't seen a reduction in freight volume out there. I know a lot of carriers think, oh no, every broker is moving the same amount of freight. Well, it doesn't actually work. Supply and demand, bro. But it doesn't work that way. So a lot of us have had to, you know, pick and choose which customers we work with. That's my case. I voluntarily stopped working with my customer because I wasn't comfortable selling super low rates. You know, Ozanka Krivinko said, Steve, if I were an owner op today, what would I do? I would park my truck. That's what I would do. I wouldn't be running my truck at all. I'd park my truck because it does not make sense to run for less than your operating costs. So if I did not have direct customers, I would park my truck and try to go out and get direct customers. You know, think about all these folks that are in DC. That's 100 salespeople. You have 100 truck drivers that are sitting around, you know, eating and doing all that stuff and protesting. Those people could all spend these days trying to go to businesses, the few businesses that are open, and say, hey, listen, I got a local truck. What's up? What do you got? That's what I would do. But not everybody has that, what's the right word? Gumption or drive. I do, but not everybody else does. So, I mean, I can't really fault them that much. I kind of got to, you know, I support them. I don't support the whole cheap freight argument. You know that, you know? Vanco Code said, if you charge 65%, you wouldn't be worried now. Now that, true, but you know, some of these guys say that. Say every freight broker does that. That's like saying every carrier hauls cheap freight. It just doesn't make any sense because it's not true. You know, it has the same you know, same end game. You know, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird situation. There's a lot of people out there that deserve to be heard, and unfortunately, it's going to be overshadowed. There are some good plans, and granted, I didn't hear any plans about some sort of economic stimulus or anything to try to keep these trucking companies open, but there are people there that had really good problems, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Really just, I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say. There are people there for the right reason that were not fighting cheap freight. They were fighting that the rates are horrible and you can't run and you can't operate. And they're being overshadowed by the broker bashing comments and all that stuff. And the fighting back and forth on social media like crazy, you know, and it is what it is, you know, but the video that Rick did today is a very telling sign, you know, because now if you look at the progression, like his timeline, it's really weird too. You know, because he had the videos before DC where he's amping everybody up, cheap freight, broker price gouging, fake videos. They were clearly fake. He made up quite a few of them. He's admitted in video that he did it, whatever. And then he goes to DC and he riles up everyone more. It's all about cheap freight. I interview him. I say, okay, well, whatever about the cheap freight. What are you going to do about it? Like, what is the plan? He doesn't know. He leaves. He goes back and he keeps doing the cheap freight narrative and broker price gouging and talking to brokers that I don't even know if are brokers or understand the industry. And he talks to people and he gets all these stories out. And then what happens? He has a day off. And I'm guessing that he talks to an attorney, and an attorney actually looks at the case. And the attorney uses more common sense than a state senator from Texas and actually does some research and says, hey, you know what? This doesn't work. We can't go after people for price gouging because it's a free market. You know? And so he makes a video and he says the same thing. And today's video is probably the most honest video he's made thus far. Because he's like, hey, yeah, hey, you know, I was wrong. He says it. He said, I was wrong. Can't do it. And then he does it with his, you know, Obama hand, which makes it cracks me up every time. But he's like, I was wrong. You know, David Quackenbaum said, I wonder why he's worried. I wonder why he's worried if he has 50 trucks and Walmart accounts. He doesn't. He doesn't own 50 trucks. And he dropped Walmart, too. Freight dispatcher. Yeah. To be honest, I don't even follow the dude. I just get every single time he makes a video and writes anything, I get 5 million messages from people, which is fine. You know, I watch him and very rarely have I ever watched a full video, but I watch him. I listen to what he has to say because I don't necessarily think he's a bad motivator. I think he's clearly a great motivator at something. I just wish he motivated people for the right reason. You know, instead of pushing some false narrative and based that was not based on that, a false narrative based on lies. I think if he actually focused on the real issue that, yeah, rates were cheap and we need some sort of solution to the problem, then they would probably already have an answer by now, to be completely honest. Because look at it now, because at that point, there wouldn't have been any divisiveness between brokers and carriers. Because why? Because all freight brokers know rates are shit. Rates are low as hell. So if you say, hey, rates are low because of supply and demand and we need some sort of stimulus to try to help us go, you know what? You probably would have had backing from trucking or from freight brokers. You know? Kevin Power said also they would have asked how the information was accumulated and they would have gathered it. It would ensue a lot of lawsuits for breaking NDAs. Absolutely. Because almost all these Matt Kegley said, wait, he has a TQL training manual. Maybe you could read it and get some direct customers. That's true. You know, he said he read it. It's 150 pages. And it talks about how you go out and you sell rates and you sell the lower rate to the carrier. Yeah, no shit. That's the job of being a freight broker. Just like the job of a carrier is to go out and get as much money as you possibly can for your truck. Cause you're not running your truck for operating cost. You're not settling and saying, hey, my cost to operate is $1.80, so I'll haul that load for $1.80. You're like, no, my cost to operate is $1.80. I want $3 a mile to pull the load. That's the goal of business, is to make money. It's to make money. A lot of people are just there. They believe it's one-sided. You know what I mean? Only carriers can make money. That freight brokers can't. Unfortunately, freight brokers aren't making any money now. Freight dispatcher said maybe he's a double agent, bro. He got all the info he needs to start his own brokers. I mean, like I said, the shipper list, that's not too far fetched because he has all these carriers that have now sent him Raycons. You know, so he has all this shipper information complete with phone numbers, pickups, what they're hauling. Think about that. Think about the resource that you have right there. Think about all that resource. It's crazy. You know? Yeah, it's, I mean, he has so much information now. Tim Ringer said potential civil suit if anything came of the 1,000 drivers that he need to pursue it. They would also be part. And, you know, I didn't even think about that. You're right. Whoever said the thing about the NDAs, every single Raycon has something like that where you can't back solicit customers. I'm sure a lot of them have NDAs right in it where you can't divulge their private information and rates and stuff like that. I almost guarantee that a lot of these Raycons, you know, I guarantee that. You're right. A lawyer probably was like, listen, you can't go out and do this. You're going to subject yourself to massive, massive lawsuits. I can't. The one thing I don't understand is why a company like TQL, they're massive and they go after people all the time for the non-competes and all that crap. Why haven't they decided to go after him? That's the one thing I don't understand. He always makes jokes like, I'm doing pre-trips on my cars, or I'm going outside, I'm checking the rooftop for snipers and all that bull crap, you know, but you know what? I mean, really, why hasn't a big broker? Why hasn't any broker? I mean, me, I thought about it because he's ruining the damn industry. Not really. But, you know, everyone knows how much I like to sue people. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should just do it to shut him up because he's full of shit. But again, he makes good points and he riled everybody up. He just did it for the wrong reason. Can you imagine if instead of pushing the whole cheap freight narrative, he just, or the broker brokers are a bad narrative, if he pushed cheap freight, we need stimulus, we need some sort of economics answer to this problem. Can you imagine the outpouring of support? I mean, it would be crazy. You know? It will be crazy. Kevin Powers said, so every load they haul for me falls under that agreement. He has yet to act on it. Once he tries contacting a customer is when he will get served with papers. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Sean Smith said, Ralph Cramden is going to DC. Have no idea who that is. Tammy Long said, come in to steal off the like, you can't even type correctly. Tammy Long said, you steal, go to hell, freight guys, or geese, because he can't type. Again, someone that can't type. I don't get it. H. Davis said, surprise, Trinity hasn't yet either. I don't know, especially because that video was fake, and he admitted it was fake. I don't know. I mean, this guy is commenting, but does any... It said, it take 200 of me to run the Taruks. I don't know what that is. Is that real English language? I have no idea. yeah, people are crazy. Matt Kegley said, because that makes sense. I don't know. So what did we learn today? What did we learn about future protests? Well, we have to do a better job. That's what we have to do. If we actually want to protest something and we have something to pay attention to, then we actually have to do it. With that said, I'm going to keep these shows to an hour because I want to upload them into Instagram after. So I'm ending this video now. Make sure you tune to Freight Broker Live for all your news tonight. I will not be making a late video because I will be busy. We'll see you later.